You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. You're listening to an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.
A mechanic tries to fix your car. No matter if you're near or far, he'll change your oil or fix your flat, and he'll do it just like that.
From Barrie to Port Perry, Toronto to Buffalo, take a joyride with Zoomer Radio AM 740 and the boys in Dave's Corner Garage, coming to you from the main bay at Queen and River. Got a car question for Dave Redinger or Alan Gelman? Call now, 416-360-0740. Or toll free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
Yeehaw! That's it, he's back!
Hola, mi amigo, ¿qué pasó?
Hey, hola, hola.
I had a beautiful time in Costa Rica. It's a beautiful country.
Yeah, you have the pina colada.
I had pina colada once, but I was drinking a lot of tequila.
Yes.
And I had a great time. It's a beautiful country. Lots of things to see and do.
What's it called? Costa Lada?
Well, you know what, Dave? Funny enough, it wasn't a cheap holiday, I must tell you.
No, nothing's a cheap holiday.
And we did rent a car. And funny enough, you know, by the time they finish adding the fees, and, Senor, you want the insurance, I must tell you. You want to have the insurance. The rental car went from $400 to $900.
Wow.
Well, of course, because we got the GPS. You got to have the GPS.
Wasn't that guy in Cuba? Remember the guy in Cuba? They wouldn't let him off the island because it was an accident?
Uh-huh.
And they held him in jail till they found out, blah, 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 blah?
Well, you know, that was the funny part. It was like, you can save $10 a day if you like, but if you get the better policy, even if they steal the car, you got nothing to worry about. I said, I paid it $10.
Yeah, me too. I want to get off the island.
But we did go to fill it up one day, and it was $60 to fill that little car up. Yeah, so it was very expensive.
Well, let's say good morning. Good morning, everybody. It's Dave's Corner Garage with Dave Redinger. And, as you know, he's back, Alan Gelman.
It's not the travel hour?
No, I didn't tell anybody that you were away, by the way, in case they wanted to break in your house.
Oh, thank you very much. I do appreciate that. We didn't have any strange visitors.
Thank you, Lord. That's so true. We got a real lineup this morning. That's why I was a little bit late coming in, because I got Josh Bailey coming on the phone. He's the gentleman with the Black Book. That's going to tell you what your car is worth. Mm-hmm. And they've got a list of people, of cars that have retained the value, the best cars to retain value. And that's important, because when you're buying a car and you're leasing a car, it costs you less if the car's got a better retained value. So we're going to talk to Josh Bailey. Jerry Chenkin, he is the Executive Vice President of Honda Canada. Mm-hmm. I actually know Jerry for like 30-plus years. I left Honda when he came in, so there you go. So Jerry is going to be on the phone talking about the new Honda Acura NSX.
That's the sporty car.
And the new Civic that's coming. I heard the rumor is coming in 2012.
Oh, so that you go from the least expensive car to the most expensive car. Perfect.
And Bob Cleveland, the lawnmower man. This guy took a lawnmower. Had to take the blade off. Went to Salt Flats and ran it at 96.8 miles an hour. When he comes on air, you're going to listen to his accent. I love this guy. I met him in Las Vegas at the Bear Jackson auction, and we had a big, long conversation. And he actually works for Stable. You know, the guys that you put the stuff in the gasoline?
That special conditioner that you pour in your gas at the end of the season. Yeah,
right.
It's important.
When he's actually in Miami, he's going to call in from the boat show in Miami. Mm-hmm. So we got a big lineup. And you know what? Let's go right away to the phone. We have George on the call. George, good morning. How are you?
Morning, guys. Love your show. Love your show.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you. The $5 is on the way out, George.
Because I'm at a Catch 22.
Yes.
I got an 02 Taurus SEL. She's super clean inside out.
Yeah.
But I'm starting to spend money.
Okay.
3 years ago, I put brake lines on. Now, over the last 6 months, the fan went for the AC, my mass airflow sensor, another sensor, switches for the door locks. Mm-hmm. Now, my starter went last week.
Right.
Do I keep the car,
Well, you know what? It's funny. If you want, we can hang on and ask the fellow from Black Book what your car is worth. But we're going to take a
zero.
We're going to take a guess here. You know what you're down to is this. Your car really on the street, you understand, as a trade-in, has really no value, right? It's, what is it, an 02 Taurus, you said?
It's probably $500.
Maybe it's $500 car. So, you know, the opposite side is if you go to buy a car, you're going to spend between 20 and 30. So if all this one is costing you is a few hundred bucks once in a while,
you really have nothing to lose by holding on to it. I mean, obviously, if something big goes, if the transmission goes, the engine goes, well, of course, it's time to say goodnight. But if you're only spending a couple $100 every few months, it's cheaper than a new car.
And the truth is you've already spent a bit of money on it, so you've already got more money invested in it.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. You see, I know what I've got now, you see.
Yeah, but the problem is, George, is, you know, people get caught up in it, and they, you know, all of a sudden you got a $500 bill, and you go, okay, now I only got to keep for 6 more months to make that money back. The truth is you never do. Okay.
Yeah.
Because in a very short period of time after that, something's going to happen. So,
You know what you should do? Get the thing audited. Get somebody to put it on a rack and spend a good half hour on the car. Take all the wheels off, pull the drums, make sure, like, really go through the car. All right. Check the motor, check the oil, check the tranny oil. Again, go through the brake lines, go through the exhaust system, the cat. Make sure that you know what you have, If something, if you've got something substantial, fix it. If he's going to tell you, look, the motor's on its way out, it's got low compression or whatever.
Right, or there's holes in the floor and the suspension is bad. Well, there's no point in spending any money on it at all.
Yeah. Okay. Remember, you got problems with the cross members and those things in the front, the subframe mounts, they go. That you should check, too. If they're rusty, it's good night, Irene.
George, we try to give good advice, but sometimes it's a sad story.
Hey, listen, you got any free tickets for the car show?
I might have a couple. I probably can arrange that. You know what? Hang on and... Dave, the operator, we're in 2D today. Dave Gaskin's going to take your number down, and I'll give you a shout at the end of the show program.
Okay, thanks a lot.
You're welcome.
All right, this is Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740, where if you've got a question for Dave or myself, Alan Gelman, give us a call at 416-360-0740, or toll-free if you're out of town, 1-866-740-4740. Stick around. We're going to go right to the Honda guy, I guess.
Josh Bailey.
We're going to talk to the man who's in charge of the Black Book.
Yes.
All right. Not your Black Book.
The Red Book. The Red Blue Kelly Blue Book.
I hope he's
and
got
in
a
Canada,
good...
it's the Black Book.
All right. We're going to get in trouble in just a couple minutes.
Black and blue.
Hard tops in Halton and pickups in Peterborough. Put it on the hoist in Dave's Corner Garage on Zoomer Radio AM 740.
What are you reading the paper?
I was just looking, as a matter of fact, talking about Cleveland, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Yeah, were you ever there?
And yes, I was. And the Eliminator. You know what called Eliminator
the
is?
The
Red Ford.
Yeah.
Yep, that belonged to ZZ Top. It was right there. There it is.
It's ZZ Top.
Fire Engine Red, the Eliminator, a 33 Ford Coupe. There it is.
That's right, sitting in the bottom of the hall, but bottom of the staircase. Anyways, welcome back. It's Dave's Corner Garage, and yes, I was at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Uh-huh.
And it's actually not very large. I was surprised how small it is.
Oh, but it's so crammed full of stuff. It's unbelievable.
That's because rock and roll, baby, started in Cleveland.
From the stage clothes to the instruments, the guitars.
Yeah.
And it was really neat. And memorabilia.
And you can see how the like Columbia and all those places that hire these artists, mm-hmm. how badly they screwed them, I gotta tell you. The guy wrote off his entire history, his entire life, I think, for $125 a week.
Yeah, really is.
Yeah,
sad.
They really did a number on him. Anyways, that's rock and roll, and this is Just Rolling. This is Dave's Corner Garage, and we're going to be talking with Josh Bailey. Josh is actually with the Black Book. He's the research guy. Josh, good morning. How are you?
Great, Dave. How are you this morning?
Good. Were you at the auto show?
Oh, yeah. I was down there on Thursday all day for the media day.
You guys had a big thing going. So we're kind of short on time, so we'll talk about the residual value of a car. Explain what that is.
Sure. The residual value is what's left over after a few years. So what we're looking at in our awards this year is four-year-old cars.
So in other words, a car comes off lease, and the residual value is really what the dealer would say it's worth. They use the Black Book to get that figure, and you would either pay the difference or get money back or whatever the situation is.
Well, nowadays I think most consumers are protected. They don't really have to pay any more at the end of a lease, thankfully. There was once upon a time that pinch at the end for
yes.
some people.
Remember that, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't know, and I'll tell you a quick story. I bought a brand new Crossfire, and at the end of the lease, I still owed like $20,000 on the car, but its value was only like $14,000 or $15,000.
Right, wow.
Okay, Chrysler took it back anyways.
Yeah.
I asked them, what happens to the $5,000, $6,000 difference? They, at the time, had insurance to cover this.
Yeah, so there are some manufacturers who have insurance against those kinds of things. That's true.
Yeah. So let's go through the list. So the best retained value is in subcompact is Honda Fit.
Yeah, the Honda Fit. And anybody who's driven a Fit won't be too surprised. It's a fantastic little car. Great on fuel. Fun to drive.
Yeah. It's like a Swiss Army knife in the back seat.
I describe it like an origami seat.
Yeah, because you can flip the seat forward, Al, and you can put your bike in there, and you flip it back and put the mother-in-law in there, and it's good stuff. Best compact car.
The compact car is the Volkswagen Golf, which, again, you know, it's a fantastic car. It's a little pricey when it's new, so I think there's lots of people waiting to buy one when they become a used car.
Is that right?
Yeah.
So, in other words, they would step up and look for a used VW to...
I think so, because it's more in the price range than of some of the domestics when they're new, when it's used.
Josh, a question, though. How do they, you know, what is the special mathematical figure? How do they figure out what these cars are actually worth? Are they just looking at sort of, you know, what somebody will pay down the road? I'm more concerned in terms of, you know, reliability and do they hold up? Does that come into effect at all?
It sure does. I mean, what we look at is we take our values, which we collect through a process of going to auctions and collecting the data electronically from various sources.
Uh-huh.
And then all of that value that we're collecting is influenced by all the things you just described. So when consumers are seeing the price of a car, there's a lot more going behind that. So it's what the manufacturers put into the car when it's new, but also how they stand behind the car throughout the years that the car is on the road as well.
Which is why I'm looking at the list here, as a matter of fact, and a lot of these vehicles are ones that we know. I mean, you got a Toyota, Honda.
Very few American nameplates. I don't see Chevy.
You know what?
Ford,
as a matter of fact, there isn't any domestics at all here.
Yeah, there's Dodge.
Oh, okay, that's the only one.
At number one, which is great, and we also have the Jeep Wrangler as well.
Yeah, I got one of those.
Yeah, it's a fantastic truck.
That's another Swiss Army knife that looks like a
same
car.
Thing. As a matter of fact, you know what? The Lexus just won the award for most reliable vehicle.
Yeah.
I mean, and then, of course, it's right up there as the best luxury car.
Is this something, a trend, that we see a lot more imports becoming higher residual values and where American cars don't?
Well, we've seen that for quite a while, but I think after everybody had their, let's say, troubles in 2008, 2009, everybody started to clean up their act, and the domestics are really building much better cars than they once were. And I think that in the next, you know, as we go forward and we're looking at four-year-old cars from today, I expect when we do these CanadianBlackBook.com awards that we're going to see more of these domestic cars show up on the list.
So you think the trend is going to go back to North American brands?
I think that there'll be some more showing up on the list for sure, yeah.
Now, I remember the Black Book when it first came out, and you guys were at the auto auction with your clipboards, you know, watching what the cars were. You still do?
We do, yeah.
Interesting. So you actually are getting the actual numbers on the ground?
Absolutely, yep.
So the Black Book, how long has it been around now?
This is our 52nd year now.
Wow.
50 years old, yeah. 51
now,
this year.
People are always saying to go by the Black Book, and where do you get the Black Book? Do you have to be a dealer to get this, or how do you get this information?
Not any longer. So in June 2010, we created a consumer website. So for many years, yes, we were strictly business to business.
Yes.
But you know what? Through demand from consumers, we changed our business, and we're now offering completely free their trade-in value, future value, which is our prediction of new cars, and also average asking price. So an idea of what cars are worth in the marketplace today for that are for sale.
Josh, generally speaking, you know, we're talking about vehicles that were 3, 4, or 5 years old at best. Is there a source where people can find out if they got a much older vehicle, if there's any value?
Well, we for the trade-ins, we go back 13 years. So
you do go that back far.
Yeah.
Oh, okay, okay.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything over 2,000 is like $100.
Yeah. It's amazing though, because cars are so much better built. People are keeping them a long time now, and they're standing up pretty well.
You know, don't we know? We're in the garage business.
Well, I hope you made your money 10 years ago then.
Yeah, the trouble is the wife spent it 9 years ago.
Hey, Josh, I want to thank you for taking the time today on the weekend.
Oh, my pleasure. And I just want to make sure everybody hits CanadianBlackBook.com to check out the value of their
car. That's what I was going to ask you. So it's CanadianBlackBook.com.
Exactly.
It's an interesting site. So you've got all kinds of information there. Plus, you can get all this. How many times can you click a car? Like, it's just one per hit?
Oh, no. They can look up as many as they like.
Oh, I'm not buying your book anymore.
Please do.
Okay, will do, Josh. Thank you so much.
All right, guys.
There you go.
Very good.
So, you know, stuff like Black Book and Red Book and all this stuff.
Great connection, too. And, you know, I want to mention, too, you know, the big variance between American and Canadian cars.
Yeah.
So it's a good thing that you've got a Canadian website where you can get these values.
That's an interesting point, yeah. So Canadian cars are actually worth more money than American cars.
They are?
Yeah, people bring stuff down. Americans buy big cars. Canadians buy little cars. So if you buy a little car in the States, bring it up, it's more value.
All right, well, Big Dave is telling me we've got to take a little break, so we've got to jump out of here. This is Dave's Corner Garage here on the new AM 740.
Yep.
Or if you've got a question, give us a call, 416-360-0740.
Interesting. Honda Fit, best little car, and Honda Odyssey is the best minivan.
Could you stop
talking? For Mustang Valley?
We have to go.
I like Hondas.
We'll
okay,
be
bye.
Back in just a moment.
Today's special guest on Dave's Corner Garage is a proud sponsor of the show. You figure it out.
It's all right.
It's all right. It's all right.
There you go. That's a Honda song.
It is. And we've got with us on the phone.
Yes, right now.
The number one vice president of Honda Canada.
Yep. All right. You want to light up the lines? Okay. Good morning, Jerry. How are you?
Very good, thank you, and how are you?
Hey, great. This is Jerry Chenkin, and he is the Executive Vice President of Honda Canada. And I think I know Jerry close to 30 years.
Really?
Maybe longer. Maybe less. I don't know. How are you? Everything good?
We were very young in those days.
That's very true. So, we were at the auto show, and we saw the new Acura NSX. Beautiful car, really nice. When is it coming?
It'll be in production within the next 3 years.
Okay.
So pop into a dealership and sign up now.
I love your commercial with Steinfeld and that flying squirrel suit.
Yeah, it's amazing,
at
actually,
the
lengths that people will go through, to get the first one.
Has the first one actually been sold already?
No. Well, we're not really quite sure. I think some dealers have taken some deposits from customers, but we're trying to figure out how to manage this thing over the next few years.
Now, I have a question. How big is NSX for Honda? I mean, the older car ran for like 11 or 12 years, the same model. I guess that's because it costs so much to produce this type of vehicle. So this vehicle here, how important is that for Honda? Is it just image, or is it really a market that they want to enter to make some money?
I think it could be both, but I think the most important thing is, you know, Acura is going in a totally, back to our roots and reestablishing Acura as a very strong luxury mark in the Canadian marketplace. And NSX is the perfect vehicle to lead that kind of direction.
I mean, kind of lost our way with the SUVs and that sort of stuff, going away from performance. So is that a sign that Honda's coming back to performance?
I think performance is very, very important. It's part of one of the core values that Honda has.
Right.
And when Acura was launched 25 years ago, it was all about innovation, performance, leading technology, luxury, those kind of things. And I think what Acura is going to do is go back to those roots now and try and reconnect between the driver and the vehicle, which we call synergy of man and machine.
So I guess you're trying to narrow the gap here. I mean, I'm looking at the picture of the car here in yesterday's Globe, and it's this hot, like supercar. But generally speaking, the cars that you guys have built are your four-door sedans. I mean, so is it you're trying to take, you know, that big old four-door sedan and really make it into a brand-new sporty type of image? Is that it?
I think so. We also unveiled the brand new ILX, which is an entry, what we call a gateway vehicle for people who are looking for their first luxury vehicle.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We haven't announced pricing yet, but it'll be under $30,000. So we're really trying to attract those people. And if you look at the styling of that ILX, you can see the kind of direction that Acura is heading in as far as future models are concerned.
Perfect. Now, new Civic coming in 2012. Can we talk about that?
Sure.
Yeah, so what's the car like?
Well, the new Civic was launched last March, as you know,
as
2012 model. It was the number one selling vehicle in Canada for the 14th consecutive year last year, which is something we're very proud of. It's made in Canada by Canadians, which is another thing we're very proud of. And yes, there's been some customer feedback about the vehicles, so we're looking at a mid-cycle change, as we usually do.
So I heard the rumor mill was that they're bringing the car, the two-door coupe from England, and bringing it over here. That was what the rumors that I've been hearing.
Yeah, I can't.
You can't comment. Okay, all right. That's a great rumor, right? Because I love that car in England. They have an SR model in England.
A different body style? Or
slightly different model style, but it goes like stink. I mean, it's just a nice car.
You know what? But I'm looking at this car, and I own this car, not this specific one, but same color. I bought it from my daughter, and as nimble as it is in the city, it handles amazing on the highway. I love my
Civic. But the buggers never break. I mean, there's over a million of these things still running around. I think you sold 1.6 million of these cars, and there's almost a million of them still on the road.
Should I tell Jerry that I'm still driving a 97 CRV that just won't die? I mean, it doesn't do much for sales of new vehicles, but maybe you shouldn't build them so good, Jerry. They last too long.
Well, this is one of the reasons that, you know, we just this week received several awards from ALG and from Black Book based on the residual value and the resale value of our products, which still are absolutely remarkable.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what I'd like about Honda, and I'll be quite frank, is when there's an issue, you guys step up and fix it. You know, it's not like, you know, that never happens or we never saw that before.
Isolated incident.
Yeah. And you guys actually do step up and say, you know what, yeah, we screwed up. We'll fix it for you and let's get on with life. I love that stuff. Jerry, thank you for spending time with us.
No problem.
Good. Jerry Chaykin.
Make sure everybody comes down to the show and take a look at the product. And the NSX will only be there till the evening of the 21st.
So. Oh, is that right? What, it goes off to another show?
And then it's off to another show.
Yeah, if I wanted to buy that car, how much would you give me for my 97 CRV? Jerry, thanks again. Take care. Have a great weekend.
Have a good weekend, guys.
Thank you very much. So that was Jerry Chang. See, you got up in the horse's mouth. Can't tell you.
He wouldn't bite. I would trade. I'd give up my car for 10 grand. All right, you know what? We got a lot of people standing in line here waiting to ask some pertinent questions.
Yeah.
And maybe there'll be impertinent questions, too. So let's find out. Robert in Scarborough has got a question about his Toyota, I guess. How are you today, Robert?
Good. Yourself?
Excellent.
Great. Thank you.
Your question would be?
About a timing belt. I'm trying to find out, it's a 6 3.0 engine made in Japan, whether that makes any difference. But I've been to a dealer where the car was purchased. I bought it used from the dealer, and I've got the service records, and there's 80,000 on it. And I asked them if the timing belt had been done, and the person who owned it before serviced it there regular. But I can't believe that they don't have the information because, you know, you go to a dealer for an oil change and you want to rebuild your car. But I can't. I gave them a serial number, and they can't seem to determine whether it's interference or irregular. And
well, that question's easy. First of all, it's a non-interfering engine.
Okay.
Okay. So, another. Let me just explain that to people.
Yeah. Explain what it is.
What that means is, if the belt does break, although you're stuck on the side of the road, so to speak, you're not doing further damage. In other words, you're not bending valves, you're not ruining pistons. So it's just a case then of towing it back into the repair shop, setting everything back up again, but the camshafts, crankshafts, putting the new belt on, and away you go. So in your case, a V6, you know, you're usually looking about $700-$800. But on an engine that is an interfering engine, you blow it up, you're looking at $3,000-$4,000.
What's the age of this car?
It's 2002, but there's only 80 on it.
Change it.
Yeah.
I mean, if you're going to keep the car for a number of years, sure, but like Dave mentioned, you know, go ahead and change it. It's not huge. It's nice to not have to worry about it. Can you imagine, you know, especially you and the missus are taking a road trip, and it's like, you know, I wonder if I should have done that or not. Because, you know, if it breaks, you're in deep doo-doo.
The sound, what you're going to hear is brrrr.
Is that the wife or the car?
Everything. So the bottom line is, yes, if because of the age of the car, it's only 5 or 6 years on the belts anyway. And the new belts they put in are way better than what they took out. So I would definitely go ahead and do that.
And the water pump, too. Eh?
Well, there's also, you can actually buy a kit now, which gives you the tensioner bearing. It gives you new springs for the tensioner. It gives you all the seals, the water pump, and the belt. You just buy this whole kit, and you have them installed.
It's called the kit and caboodle, I think.
There you go.
You guys do that out there, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. No problem at all. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Okay, so that's another call we've covered, and that means that we have a line that's open.
Okay, 416-360-0740.
We have a couple of minutes. Okay, let's take another call.
You want to go up to Barry and speak to Roland, who's got a problem with his T-Bird, I guess.
Yeah.
You're driving a T-Bird, Barry?
Yeah.
Okay.
A Thunderbird.
Yeah. What's it doing or not?
Well, when I put the brakes on, if I have to apply the brake quickly, you know, come to a sudden stop,
mm-hmm.
It goes into like a when I go to pull away, I've got no power. It's as if it's in neutral, and then all of a sudden it'll kick in.
Neutralizing, not a good thing.
Yeah, if I just pull up normally, I never have any problems with it.
Have you checked the fluid level?
Well, I've been told it's a sealed transmission, and there's no way of checking the fluid.
No, okay, yes, there may not be a stick that you can check easily, but it sounds like the fluid's low to me.
Yep.
So you just think it's a low fluid, so I'd go to a dealer to get it checked? Or?
Go to Mr. Transmission.
You can go to Transmission Shop.
Can you?
Yeah, by all means, and they can check it for you.
Yeah.
They usually have a stick.
We had Randy on here last week, and I'm sure they have one in Barrie. Just go in there, and the guy's going to get his stick out and do a number, and away you go.
You know, being an 02 car, what's the mileage on it?
It's got about 70,000.
You know what? Now's a good time to service it, so I would take it in. Take the guy.
I got to wait till the spring now because it's tucked away for the winter.
Okay. I understand. All right, perfect. But like come spring, by all means, I would go by the local tranny shop, take the fellow for a ride, show him what it's doing, okay?
Yeah.
And I'd say, hey, let's check the level, and if it's all good, just do a service, and you'll be good to go.
Oh, okay then.
Great. Thanks for calling.
Thanks for your help.
Okay, bye-bye. Snug as a bug in a rug.
There you go.
I like that. What's it? I'm trying to picture what an 02 T-Bird looks like.
It's a two-door.
Yeah.
And it's got a chicken on the side.
I know what it looks like. All right.
All right. This is Dave's Corner Garage. My name is Alan Gelman. And sitting beside me is guess who?
Dave Rediger. And we're coming back. You know what? We're going down to Miami Beach.
I was there last Saturday. I was there myself.
In Miami Beach.
I was.
Did you meet her? And we're going to meet Bob Cleveland, the lawnmower man, right when we come back.
Clunker in Kitchener, car query in Collingwood. Call Dave's Corner Garage and get it resolved. To reach Dave and Alan on Zoomer Radio AM 740, call 416-360-0740. Or toll-free in Ontario at 1-866-740-4740.
It's the boss.
A little reaction.
You like this song?
Yeah. I like this guy.
Bruce Springsteen is a good guy.
I like this music. Da, 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 da. And he's aging well, too.
Unfortunately, Clements isn't.
No.
Clarence is gone, unfortunately. The big man, the saxophone player, is gone. I don't know how they're going to replace that guy.
Synthetics. Welcome back. It's
Dave's Corner Garage on the new AM 740. Yep. Where are we going next, Dave?
I just want to do a couple of quick public service announcements. How you like that?
This is how we pay the bills. Go
okay,
ahead.
No, I just want to say yesterday we were at the auto show and I was doing throws out of there. Like that means, you know, every half an hour we're on air talking to local people. What a great time we had yesterday.
The car show was always a blast. The listeners came up
and I got lots of hugs from the gals and it was just a good time and I want to thank the listeners for being so nice.
Mm-hmm.
Because they could have said, oh, you're the A who's on the radio. But
no, I'm the A, you're the D.
Yeah. So that was just great. And so let's go head down to Miami Beach, where the sun is shining. It's almost 80 degrees, and the women are wearing bikinis, and the men are wearing sunglasses.
Woo-hoo!
And we're talking to Bob Cleveland from The Lawnmower Guy. How are you, Bobby?
I'm doing great. How about y'all?
Great. Just super. Now, I met Bob in Barrett Jackson Auction in Las Vegas. So you drive all over the country with this promotion.
Yes. They call me the engine answer man here at Gold Eagle, you know, the maker of Stayville. But, yeah, I get to drive the big blue truck all around the country and just, it's, you know, they actually pay me to do this.
Which is, what a gig. I love it. So you actually work for the company that makes Stable, and we always talk about it up here because we only get to drive our good cars maybe 4 months of the year or 5 months of the year.
Right, and because you're going to have a lot of cold weather, and, you know, and a lot of people end up going south during the wintertime and back north in the summertime.
Mm-hmm.
So they got a lot of vehicles and maybe small engines, products that are sitting around for 4 to 6 months at a time, and you know, as with the gas the way it is today, that's not a good thing.
No, so we're talking about lawnmowers, we're talking about chainsaws, and we're talking about people's classic cars too that they just park away and only drive in the summertime. So, what's the best way to use the product, Bob?
Well, our Stayville fuel stabilizers is made to treat your fuel to prevent it from breaking down. Mm-hmm. So. What you do is you fill your tanks up, you put your Stayville in, you run it because you want to get all that Stayville through your lines into your carburetors or injectors because we actually have corrosion inhibitors that protect the metal and aluminum from corrosion, which is a big problem with the ethanol that's in our fuel.
That's right.
And we've got, you know, the fuel just isn't what it used to be, even without the ethanol in there, just gasoline is not really that good anymore. It breaks down a lot faster. And if you've ever went into a carburetor that's set up and was gummed up for a few months, then you know that that's not a good thing, and you got a lot of headaches, and you're going to spend some money.
Let's talk about the lawnmower that you took. You actually worked for Red Snapper for a while, and you started to develop these lawnmowers, and you took one, right?
Yeah, that's right. I worked at Snapper. It's a lawnmower company down in McDonough, Georgia. I was there for actually 27 years.
Wow.
I was a design engineer. And, of course, when you're around lawnmowers that much, you might have a few spare parts, and you can start, you know, making them do things they're not really made to do.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like something Tim Taylor would do.
Tim
the two-man Taylor was one of my inspirations.
There you go.
So I commenced to collecting old lawnmowers, and I like to go fast, and instead of doing a race car, I just did a lawnmower.
Now, you took it to the salt flats, right?
We took. I've been racing with the United States Lawnmower Racing Association for several years, and I just took one of my racers and modified it a little bit, and we went out to the Bonneville Salt Flats to set the land speed record.
Now, there's an interesting story here. Let me stop you right here, because I know the story, so I wanted to explain it. He goes out for the first time, and he sets a record, right? You set 88 or something?
80 miles an hour,
right?
Back in 06.
In 06, 2006,
in
right?
In a riding lawnmower.
Yes.
Okay.
So he finds out, now you get competition in England. So tell the story from there.
Well, that's correct. We've been to England a couple of times. That's actually where the lawnmower racing came from. They've been racing over there a lot longer than here. So we got some buddies over there, and they called us up and said, look, we're going to try to beat your record. And I said, well, that's great. And I actually got to go over there. And we actually supported them in trying to beat our record. Of course, it was a fundraiser. And, you know, we all buddies. And, and it was just a bunch of rednecks. And so got to go over there. And they actually broke my record in the spring of 2010 at 88 miles an hour.
Right. So they did 88. Now you went back
That's
to the
right.
Salt Flats, right?
So that fall, we said, well, we got to go back. And we went back and... You know, it is the 104 octane boost mower, so my goal was to go 104 miles an hour.
Wow.
Well, we didn't quite make that, but we did set the land speed record at 96.529 on a lawnmower.
Question is that, do you use a supercharger or a turbocharger, or do you run nitrous?
Nope. We have to use a carbureted engine. We just have to use regular gas.
Oh, really? So, you can't fool around.
It only has like 30 horsepower.
That's right. So, you know, it's hard to push it a little more like that with me on there and all that wind resistance. It was a big deal to go that fast.
Wow, I bet it would be.
You know, when I first came there, I walked right past it because I didn't recognize it being as a racer. Absolutely
well,
phenomenal.
Also, and just so everybody knows, you can go to YouTube and type in world's fastest lawnmower, and you can see it going across the salt flat.
Is that you or driving you it, Bob?
Yes, I built it and I drove it.
Oh,
or
excellent.
You can go to goldeagle.com. And put it, it's on that website also. So it's really neat to see it and hear it run across the salt.
Definitely have a look.
Everybody wanted to know. They always want to know, will it cut grass? Will it cut grass? Well, actually, Guinness, the world record book said you had to cut grass the same day, which I did.
So you put the blade back on, right?
I did put it back on. And I went out to cut some grass on the salt flats and did all that the same day.
So now I got to push you along because we're running out of time, but I was going to say that. So now you're waiting for the guys in England to step up, and then you're going to go back and try it again, right?
We got to go 100 miles an hour. You know, that's who they're going to remember, that first person that went 100 miles an hour. But you know, with all the lawnmowers, and like y'all were saying, you might have your boat. Y'all been at the car show yesterday?
Yes.
I'm down here at the boat show. Everything uses fuel. You need to get that fuel stabilized or you're going to have trouble.
Thank you so much for taking time, Bob.
All right. Great to be on here, and y'all have a good day.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, you too.
So Bob Cleveland, and Bob works for Stable, which is the fuel additive. And actually what's going to happen is we've made arrangements with Stable. Starting next week, we're going to start giving some of their product away.
So. I didn't get to have a chance to ask Bob. I wondered what an English redneck was. I know what an American redneck is, but in England they got rednecks too, I guess?
I have no idea, and I'm not going there.
All right. Marjorie, hang on the line, and Robert, you too, up in Bancroft. Yep. We're going to get to your calls in just a break. We're going to have to jump out for a commercial message, and we'll be back in just a moment.
From the gas guzzler in Grimsby to the hot rod in Halliburton, you're tuned up and tuned in to Dave's Corner Garage on Zoomer Radio AM 740.
Welcome back. We have to go quickly to the phones because we're running out of time.
Because we can help.
Pick a number there, baby.
Name it a song. We're going to go to Marjorie in Etobicoke, who's got a problem with her Buick Century. How's it going, Marjorie?
Oh, thank you for taking my call.
No problem.
I'm having a problem with the cluster and the dashboards, the park, reverse, drive, etc., and the mileage isn't coming up. No light. The car's works, but... And it's been like that for some time.
The Prindle's not working.
Yeah, the problem.
The Prindle. P-R-I-N-D-L spells Prindle.
Prindle, just like it sounds.
Yeah. Exactly. Park, reverse, neutral, drive. The Prindle. There you go.
It's Prindle.
Unfortunately, on that vehicle there, that was a digital display. And I think what's happened there is I've seen it happen a couple times.
Yep.
The circuit board itself is broken back there. And it's not a cheap, easy fix.
No. GM was actually rebuilding them for a while. You could take it into the GM counter. They rebuild it and give it back to you. But it was very dear, very expensive.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, when it first happened,
which
is over a year ago, we did take it into our dealer and mention it right away. And they said, we'd have to go to, and he said it would be very expensive.
Yeah, it is, yeah.
Yeah, they were charging about $800 just to fix the board. And then, of course, you had to take it in and out. So it could cost upwards of
$1,000. Oh, my gosh.
My advice is to use, forget about it.
Like they say, don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it.
As long as I can drive it.
Yeah.
I don't drive at night. Very seldom.
Okay.
Well, don't forget, your odometer, you don't really need to see it. That's not critical. Of course, as far as the shifter goes, it doesn't take much to figure out. You know, when you're neutral and you can go down, one more down is drive and one up is reverse. So it's not hard to figure out.
I really do focus on it, but okay.
Where's your shifter? Is it on the column or on the floor?
On the column.
It is on the column.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, speaking of rednecks, okay?
Yeah.
Get yourself a Sharpie, okay, a magic marker, and just mark, because what you're going to find is when you turn the shifter, all righty, the collar is going to move on the column. So what you can do is just put a little dot where you want it to be so you can put a little D. It's not going to look fancy, but it will work.
Now, tell me again. I put the magic marker on the...
Yeah, just look behind the steering wheel.
Yes.
Okay, towards the dashboard. And you're going to see that when you move the shifter from park into, all the other gears, that it's going to move. So you put a reference point there, so you make a center mark. And then when you're in drive, that's where you can put your little D. So then all you have to do is line up that little arrow, reference mark, and the D, and you'll be in drive every time.
Oh, that's a great idea.
There you go.
Okay, sir.
And it's way less than $800.
It sure is.
Yes.
I think it's about 80 cents. There you go.
Oh, that's wonderful. Thank you very much for
your
help.
Welcome.
You're very much
welcome.
Enjoy
your show, and you people always seem to be so happy.
Thank you, because the wives aren't here.
Take care, Marjorie. Yeah,
Take care.
Thank you so much.
Actually, I heard a phone call yesterday. The guy had a phone, we pick up the cell phone, and there's a thing.
Uh-huh.
And it goes, warning, warning, wife's on, wife is calling, warning, warning, wife is calling.
Oh, that was his ringtone.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to go to Bancroft before we get into more trouble. You're a big shot. Your wife's out of town.
Yeah, wife's in Florida. She doesn't listen.
Mine's listening. Robert in Bancroft, problem with your Chevy Cavalier. What's going on?
It's got a noise in the transmission, a little like grinding.
Oh,
like a standard transmission make.
Yes.
When you're driving, when you're start away, it sounds like a standard transmission.
It may not be the trend at all. It may just be a bad wheel bearing because they're noted for that.
No, it you sit the car in neutral and you put it in drive without moving, it makes a noise.
Okay.
That didn't make before.
Okay,
that's
something.
Is it possible to hurt a transmission by running over a curb?
Only if you let the fluid out, but they just wouldn't move.
No, you hit the curb kind of hard.
Not really. There's enough movement in the lower control arm and the drive shafts that you wouldn't do that, no. Something's let go inside, maybe a crack from the flywheel or maybe a bearing inside.
Does the vehicle move okay, or do you find that it doesn't shift?
It shifts okay.
Okay, so it's just
that it makes a singing noise.
A singing noise.
I wonder if something's up against it.
Oh, do you know what? I think, you know what it may be, is when you went up on the curb, you may have damaged the plate behind it. The what do you call it?
Splash shield.
Yeah, so behind the wheel, behind the brake rotor is a splash shield, okay?
Yeah.
And it's just made out of tin, and it's very possible that you've just bent it. So what's happening is now is that it's actually rubbing on the backside of the brake rotor, okay?
Is there a mechanic near you that you would work with?
It seems to be more internally.
Is there a shop near you that you work with?
No.
You're going to have to go to a shop, get somebody to take it around the block.
But is it possible to hurt it by hitting a curb?
If you really try hard, yes.
Yes. Anything is possible.
Beg your pardon?
I say anything is possible.
Oh.
All right, Robert,
okay,
good luck.
Thank you.
Thanks for calling in. But, you know, all he's got to do is lift it up. He should find himself a friendly mechanic like you or me, who will lift it up on the hoist.
And I walk in with a 2-4, and that'll make him really happy.
Let the wheel spin, and they're going to find the noise in no time at all.
That's a wrap. By the way, 401 Dixie Kia, if you go down there for a road test, they'll give you 2 tickets to the soccer game coming up here, the final, March the 7th at the Rogers Center, which is nice. Dave Gaskin, thank you. We can't do it without you.
Yeah, he's
especially since my cousin Oren, my nephew Oren, is away snowboarding. Gaskin's got 3 jobs doing here, and he's doing crazy. Alan, thank you.
You're very welcome, Dave. It's great to be back. And, of course, if you've got any questions, you're welcome. If you couldn't get through because we're so busy,
you
can give me a call up at the shop. I do answer questions there. 416-665-6230.
Your call is important to us, so please hang on. Thanks for joining us. Have a great weekend.
See you next week, everybody.
Bye-bye.
This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740. This has been an exclusive podcast of Dave's Corner Garage. Heard every Saturday morning from 10 to 11 on Zoomer Radio, the new AM 740.